In this week, on the 2nd of June 1999, Joe Kinnear resigned as manager due to ill health, having been in charge since 1991. It was an immensely difficult decision to make. The man who suffered a heart attack before a match at Sheffield Wednesday the previous March said, "But I felt I owed a decision to Wimbledon to be upfront about my decision rather than springing on them when I'd only just sorted myself out." Well, we've also in this week, over the last 7 days, been basking in the glory of promotion to League One. Dear old listener, we're still going up with the same old Wobbles.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Hello, 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 dear listener. Welcome to the Same Old Wobbles podcast. We're still a little bit giddy. I certainly am. I'm Matt Cooper, and I'm joined by mon frère, Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall. How are you?
Hello, Matty. I am okay today.
Good. Okay. Excellent. Today he's all right. And hello, Adam Proctor, producer, man with the buttons. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm going to lie and say I'm completely fine.
Excellent. That's the way, because we're men. Let's bottle that. Bottle those feelings of anxiety and depression. Push them in. Dip down. And last of all, our football guru and expert, the man with the figures and the stats, Tool Mark Lewis, how are you?
What's the difference between figures and stats? Good evening. I'm all right. I think like everyone else, and a lot of people at the World Nightingale Testimonial yesterday, there's a distinct lack of energy because it feels like we used all the energy we had for about a month. And used it all up on Monday last week. Yeah. And it's taking me quite a while to be able to rejuvenate.
I think
like Doctor Who to bring a topical reference.
Hey, I tell you what, that's a really that's a cool reference, because today one of the things I was doing at work was looking at pinball machines to purchase next year. And the one I want to purchase is a Doctor Who pinball machine. So there we go. Like, that's mad.
There you are.
That's how cool Adam is that he gets to buy a pinball machine for his office.
Yeah.
What
kind of job's that? That's just ridiculous.
It's cool.
Anyway, good job, Adam. Well done. I realise that's your highlight.
It was.
I love the fact that we've gone from being down with the kids talking about Doctor Who to being down with the kids from the 1970s talking about pinball machines.
I loved pinball when I was uni.
I've got a bar football table with yellow and blue teams, obviously, but you need a pinball machine.
Don't worry, table football is next on my list.
Personally, I'd always wanted a Wurlitzer. proper.
Well, yeah, think 7 inches, obviously.
Up, put it down.
No CDs in there. You've got to have proper 7 inches.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't count as a game, so I can't buy that.
I love the fact those things you usually get on Facebook. They say something that you like that will age you without saying your age. I think that's this bit of conversation just aged us completely.
50p in the slot, sir.
The other thing I've always wanted was one of those automated donut machines. You know, the ones you just press a button at the top end and just the whole thing, including flipping it over.
And dude, listen, this might explain why Niall Cooper's the man that actually had to have a triple.
It was only a double.
Anyhow, chaps, I want to get rid of the boring stuff first. I want to get rid of the boring stuff first to get onto the retain this and the season review and, you know, the Will Nightingale. And we did some interviews again, all a bit of a mess. Sorry, Adam, but there's some bits and bobs of news that's come out. Okay, so first of all, great stuff. We've sold 4,000 season tickets already, which is amazing as of the time that we're doing this podcast. Also, the second interesting thing that's come out today is that we have a new catering provider. Eleanor are no more. We now have
Eleanor.
They never were Eleanor.
Eleanor will always be what I call it. Anyhow, they are no more. And we have a new one. Aramark, I think, is how they might be pronounced. A new catering provider. They will operate all the food and beverage outlets in the stadium, including the hospitality level, kiosks, the pub, as well as managing independent traders in the fan zone. So I'm hoping managing doesn't mean they're going to change our independent traders in the fan zone, because they are the bee's knees. I'm slightly worried about the pub, because obviously, you know, well, we talked about this earlier in the season, that there's going to be a change of provider there, which is a shame, really, because I temporarily forgot the name of them. The pub is by the Horns. Yeah, by the Horns. Been fantastic. And I've genuinely, if I go in and I have a lager, I love the lagers that they have there. West End Pils is like great. It's much better than all the other lagers as a lager drinker. And I think other people like the beers they have there. So I'm hoping it's still going to be a decent selection in the bar. But we'll see.
Yeah, let's hope it's not just Budweiser and Foster's or something stupid.
Yeah, the one thing I can tell you about Almark is they've been around for a long time.
Yep.
I remember them actually exhibiting at an event I used to run because they do a lot of business in the offshore energy sector.
They were founded in 1936 by the Davidson brothers, Davery and Henry Davidson. They're based in Philadelphia, and they first provided the services at the Mexico City Olympics in 1968.
Closest to home, anyone who's been to Chesterton World of Adventures can judge on the quality of their food because they run the catering there. It's my son's work for them as a summer job.
Oh, really?
I can't think of the last time I went to Chesterton World of Adventures.
It's all right. I mean, you know, sort of original beer there, which I must admit is the one thing that I wouldn't really be particularly looking forward to.
Very important.
Get rid of the craft beer type stuff we've had.
Mark, breaking news for Adam. Aramark partnered with the Humane Society in August 2017 as part of their initiative to increase plant-based food offerings.
Hey, this is pretty good.
Oh, right. Okay, so they might... This is what I'm... Then, from my Chesterton World of Adventures experiences, of which I've had many, unfortunately, over the years... I think the food is average, has always been average and overpriced. And so that's going to fit in perfectly with our provider.
That's normal. Yeah. So what are we worried about?
As long as they keep the independent food providers and they have a different selection of beers.
No, but I was going to say about the independent, food thing. It sounds to me what there was, from the way I read the press release or whatever you call it, is that was probably being managed by someone inside the club, and it's probably quite a bit of work to get those food stalls in, to book it all in, and so probably part of the contract was, we want you to manage these people that are coming in. So I suspect nothing will change there other than the fact that the club has devolved effectively the booking slots and whatever, which is great. I think that'll be, you know, that's what it sounded like to me anyway.
I think you're probably right.
What they have done is they've done a proper competitive tender. Yeah. Which wasn't done, from what I understand, for a number of things, including Elior when they first originally came in. Because that's a Joe Palmer legacy as well for Elior having lasted so long.
Is that it did in the news? It said that one of the pieces was they were committed to the London Living Wage, which I
did
was
see that.
Excellent.
Yeah, London Living Wage is very good, which actually puts them in a very rare bracket because it will make the club. That was the one area that was dubious about whether they were paying London Living Wage because of subcontracting. Okay. So that would actually make AF Swimbledon a London Living Wage provider, I think.
Brilliant. Which is good to know, because that's something that I know successive Don's Trust boards have been trying to work towards. Can I throw a football-related stat in? You know, shocking for a football podcast, but...
Yeah, you'd throw it in. Narcissus would work on his apology whilst you're doing that.
We will not be playing Oldham because we're not in League Two anymore.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Oldham, who got promoted with a couple of goals in extra time of the National League playoff final. 34 years since they were last promoted, apparently. But get this. Wimbledon were founding members of the Premier League, taken to Milton Keynes, reformed in the combined counties, promoted to the Isthmian, promoted to Conference South, promoted to the Conference, promoted to League Two, and relegated, and then promoted to League One twice, all since Oldham last got promoted.
Wow. Oh,
which
bless
would explain
Oldham.
Why they're getting quite so excited.
Excellent. The other, that is fantastic news. Congratulations, Oldham. It was because we were obviously, Niall, we'll talk about this in a bit. We were at the fans' Fair Game conference last week, and there was some Southend fans there, and I got speaking to and wish them all the best of luck. So, commiserations to Southend. who I developed a, you know, a soft spot for whilst I was talking to this guy who was a lovely bloke. But yeah, so, but congratulations to Oldham. And that's amazing, though, that we've done all of that and that they've spent all that. And this is the first promotion they've had. Dear me. Anyhow, the last thing, the last little bit of news to talk about is that I was just looking through Mick Buckley's roundup of the season. He put something out early on the website. And this paragraph I was interested in. This week, we've been working hard to give Johnny and Craig the most competitive budget that we can compete in League One next season. This gets tougher and tougher. Several fans have asked how they can help. There will be an opportunity for those who would like to do so. Look out for more on this shortly. So that's interesting. That, I mean, there are people out there who've just gone, right, we're in League One. They've clearly might have some finances. I'm going to put into the budget, which would be
That could mean anything. That could mean I'll throw 50 quid in, or is there a way of being able to put a direct debit in, which has been for a long time with various fundraising initiatives?
I think I already have some random direct debit that's supposed to pay for the first team.
I'll do a bit of scouting, Matt. I mean, it could be anything.
It could be anything, but I mean, but the fact is, as a fans club, this is what we do, and I think, man, it wouldn't surprise me if there are other people out there who've, you know, going to contribute something. I'm guessing that John Green might get involved somewhere along the line.
Was John Green at the final? Because I haven't heard of.
Yeah,
seen
he
him
did.
On socials
he final. Was. Yes, if you look, he was at the final. He was doing something in Indiana, some sort of Indiana bike ride. Then he cycled from that to the airport, went over, saw the game.
That's a very John Green type thing to do.
Yeah, and then yeah, I
and
think
he was in one
back.
Of the pubs. He was in one of the pubs somewhere.
He was in the Green Man. Yeah, he was in the Green Man.
Yeah, I see.
Saw the game. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's crazy. He's just amazing. So he went and did that. And obviously, our good listener Tricia, she flew over. She wasn't going to, but she couldn't resist coming over to the match, watching the game and then going back. And I think her Airbnb was like outside Wembley Stadium, as far as I could see.
It was right by it.
So fantastic. So brilliant, Trish. That's fantastic work. Okay. Now then, on to the big news of last week, which is the retained list. Now, it's been up on the website for a bit of time now, since Thursday of last week. I know that other podcasts have talked about it. It's up in those discussions. So I think I'd like to sort of like, not, I don't want to name all the names of the people that are there, but really, I think the big thing for us is those that, you know, first of all, big thanks to all the people that are leaving. There's some great players that are leaving. Morgan Williams was one who was there at the testimonial the other day. Ball as well, fantastic. So John Joel Tool, they've all had their bit. So everyone who's leaving the club, Hussein Billa and others, we wish them all the best of the future. It's absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much. Once a Don, always a Don is our motto.
Anyone that you would have kept that was been released?
Belair, obviously, but
I don't think.
But you know.
I don't think there was anyone there. For me, in the people that left, there was no surprises.
No, they're not surprises, but I thought Belair could be awesome at some point. But it's
he could be, but not in a team. He couldn't get in the squad in League Two, so why would you keep him in League
Two? No, I know. I get it.
Yeah.
Just disappointing.
I don't think. I mean, it's really tricky. I mean, I thought there were moments when he was brilliant, but there was something. You know, he had a foul in him, didn't he?
Yeah, I think his last contribution was that foul that wasn't actually a foul in the last minute of the Newport game. Did he play even a minute after that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he did. But anyhow, the big thing is you can see all that. You can see all the people on there. The big thing for me is these three. It's the offer of new contract, the ones we're in discussion with, and the loans that have ended. So the offers of a new contract, Ryan Johnson, Josh Nerfell, James Tilley. In discussions with Sam Hutchinson, and Marcus Brown. And the loans ended James Furlong, Owen Goodman, Joe Piggott, and Alistair Smith. I mean, out of those, if we can take them in sections, I mean, of those that have been offered a new contract, Ryan Johnson, Josh Neufeld, and James Tilley, what do we think? Are any that are staying? Who would we want to stay? What's your thoughts?
I think it's got to be, you definitely want Josh and Johnson.
Josh Johnson. And Josh. Ryan Neufeld.
I think that,
I said, oh, you want Josh and Johnson, and there was an and in the middle, and
didn't sound like it.
I think that
you just need to wake up, Mr. Lewis.
I think that
love you.
I think all of them. We'd like to keep all of them, wouldn't we? If we could,
I'd keep all of them. I think Neufeld's going to be tricky. I think Johnson, we definitely should be able to keep. We should be able to figure out a way to keep him for sure. I thought he was awesome anyway. Tilley. I think Neufeld's the one that's the most difficult, because I think there'll be other people, you know, in the mixer for him. I mean, we've got the positivity of the fact that his mum seems to really like us. So I'm hoping that might sway him more than cash.
Sadly, I fear that's a naive idea.
Yeah.
I spoke to Dave Wilkinson, who's the chair of Luton, because Neufeld used to be at Luton. And all he talked about was Neufeld's mum. Just saying, right, that's the person you've got to negotiate with is her. She is a force of nature, and she's very ambitious and wants the best for Josh. And he just said, right, you know, love her, love Josh. Josh, great bloke, but said, you've got to persuade Josh Neufeld's mum. So if anybody runs into Josh Neufeld's mum, right, just say, oh, we love you, you're wonderful, and Wimbledon's such a great club and all that sort of stuff. So just sweet talk her. That's what it's about, because that's the best way to get Josh to stay a Don.
I've also heard, sadly, that she's locked her Twitter account, because a lot of people have been trying to do exactly that on social media to try and curry favour.
No way.
All right, in which case,
just
ignore her, let her have some peace and quiet, let her rest up, don't talk to her, and just be nice.
I think we've got to be honest. There are clubs out there who can offer, you know, 500, at least 500, which would be nothing for a lot of clubs, more a week than we can, and up to like $1,500 or something like that. I remember I was watching something where Ivor was on. He was saying that. And I think we're all resigned to losing Josh. He will go. My sense is he'll go top of League One, bottom of the Championship. I mean, it could be somewhere like, it could be Cheltenham possibly, or it could be Wickham or one of those sort of sides.
And am I right? We won't get anything for him at this point.
No, he's not. He's out.
Well, there is a ruling about the age. So, for example, when Biller was around last summer, he was offered a deal by us, which in the end he took. But if we, because he was like under 24, I think it is. If you're offered a contract, but you just choose to turn it down, then the club you leave does get some kind of compensation, but not an exact transfer fee, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Thanks, Mark. I think my sense is I would have thought Ryan Johnson stays. I hope he stays. Although, again, you know, he's from North, is he? Stockport area. So there might be somewhere else who would go in for him. And James Tilley, I think I've said this before. My sense is he's gone, and I won't be surprised.
What are you basing that on, though? Because he's 24. He's engaged to get married. He's got a 3-month-old baby. Why would you uproot from where he's based in the South Downs? Where else can he go? He only goes back to Crawley. He's not going to get back to Brighton. He's not going to go to Bournemouth.
He's going to Gillingham.
Gillingham. He's going to Gillingham. He'll go to Gillingham.
Why would you go to Gillingham? I mean, how many
They'll pay him more.
They're going to pay a grand a week more.
They'll pay him more than we'll pay him. That's why. That's why it's not about being in League One. He'll go. You know, it's a short career, and he's got a new family. So you know, a grand a week more playing in Gillingham, and my sense is that Gillingham are going to be right up amongst it next season.
Yeah, that's what everyone said this time last season as well, and they completely flattered to deceive.
That's true.
I mean, Ainge was either going to be absolutely amazing or will be sacked by October, you know.
October, flipping heck.
No, yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I think
Angel plays a certain way, right? It can work with the right people and the right club and whatever else. But if it doesn't work, you know, look at some of the memes for when he tried to do certain types of motivational speaking at QPR.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about where Shrewsbury ended up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, but I think did he come in mid-season there?
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about him, Matt. What's next?
So anyhow, that's what I think it's the in discussions with, and that's Sam Hutchinson and Marcus Brown.
Here's a question, right?
Yeah.
Hutchinson, you can imagine it's fitness related.
Yeah.
You also imagine even if his agent will try and tout him everywhere, understandably.
Yeah.
He, before the heart attack, he could have said, yeah, look, he even though he's had an injury issues or one or three injury issues in his career, he's proved now he can do it. Now, obviously, he's had the heart attack. Really? How too many clubs going to go that near him and offer him anything sensible?
I think that for Craig Cope will probably be going, well, I've just knocked 500 quid a week off offering what I need to offer Hutchinson, to be honest. I would suspect Hutchinson's stays because I don't think he's going to get an awful lot of other offers. Certainly not at a League One club.
Yeah, I think Hutchinson stays, and it's not even a sympathy thing. He stays because when he's got something, his presence around the players, I think, is great. He can come and do a job. I think if we need to, he can come in and cover almost anywhere across the back. He can cover him in midfield if we need to as well. Very versatile player, so I think he's a would be a brilliant addition. So
and he's 35. I think he stays there. I think he stays.
Yeah. I'm not sure though that Brown's worth the investment.
I'm with you, Mark.
Where does he play? He's not a forward. We had to play him as a forward because we had no other options. But
yeah,
where would he play? Would he play in the midfield three? No, even if we don't keep hold of Smith, which we'd all like to, but if we don't keep hold of Smith, you don't put someone like Brown in there because he's not going to do the work that Smith or Ball or Reeves or anyone like that would do in midfield.
Can he play wing back?
No.
I mean, that is because he's a, you know.
I know Chilly reinvented himself, really. But no. Brown's an attacking player who likes space.
My deal with Brown is that if Brown stays, that's nice. That's about as far as I go. I think he gives us a different option if we need a different option.
I would argue that
that's where I'd go.
I'd argue that he's a League One player. I think,
of course, he's a League One player.
I think he's got.
In what format? You know,
well, I mean,
if someone plays 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1, he can play behind a big striker. But
maybe he plays. Maybe that's it. Maybe he plays off. Maybe he plays off a.
I'd rather take the money that you'll pay on Brown and get someone with proven League One experience to play up front.
Well, I think we all know
who wants to play 4-4-1-1. That's ridiculous.
Well, it would be for us. It would be 3-5-1.
I'm with Mark that if we need extra cash, then that extra cash should go on making sure we have somebody who can play up front and score goals.
Yeah, definitely.
That's definitely where our priority has to be.
And I think that no one is looking for that sort of player. I think we're going to be in for I think we've got the pick of the bunch.
It'd be really cheap. I can't imagine anybody wanting a proven goal scorer coming through at all. Nobody's going to be wanting that.
No, exactly. I think we're onto something.
My sense is if we were doing anything, it'd probably be trying to take cheap from Bromley.
Do you know what? Yeah, well.
Too old. If we're in Second League 2, yes, but too old. My son's just whops at me from inside the house to say John Green did the Indy 500, apparently, and then flew towards the final the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I heard a rumour. Someone put it out there saying that people we should look at investing in, you know, so the loan market is going to be a big thing for us. But there was, who was the guy who played for Walsall and went back to his parent club?
Nathan Lowe.
Yeah, someone was saying that he might want to be in League One. So, Nathan, no.
I mean, the irony is, for the same reason that we probably won't keep Goodman, because Palace will want to send him north.
Yeah.
Someone like Lowe, maybe send him south.
Yeah. I think that would be
smoke. I mean, unlikely, I doubt. I bet. Then again, you know, Al-Hamidi went to Stoke, didn't really tear up trees. Obviously, yeah. Lowe was going back into a very turbulent situation at Stoke and only got a few opportunities, and he scored a couple of goals but didn't really get anywhere. And by the end of the season, he was nowhere near the squad.
Yeah, so he might. They might.
Yeah, he has got really good friends that live on the M25, so it'd be quite easy for him to get round, and he could easily stay somewhere. I know exactly where he'd stay.
Yeah.
Surely, so, the less you say about
less editing Adam has to do. But then we're coming on to loans ended, and you know, there's a list of four here, and it's so you've got James Furlong, Owen Goodman, Joe Pigott, and Alistair Smith. And I think we agree that out of that four, it would be great to have two of them back. So
yeah, I think Smith's a free agent. So you'd hope that he would say, right, well, that's a good call, so I'll do that. And obviously,
based up in that neck of the woods in the sort of Peterborough, Cambridgeshire area, because that's a fair schlep to come down. And you can't tell me the property's going to cost less down here to rent or to buy than it is up in Peterborough, Lincoln Way.
Yeah, but I mean, what are his options up in that neck of the woods? I guess he goes to sort of
Peterborough,
or but I mean, like, you know, but
or Northampton.
Lincoln didn't want
Northampton.
Him. Northampton have gone down.
No, they stayed up.
Did they stay up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, because
but someone was saying with Smith that they reckon he was effectively let go in January, so he's probably been talking to clubs since then.
Yeah.
He was actually let go at the end of, at the beginning of the season, because he was out of contract, and when he came on loan to us, the statement from Lincoln was like, you know, thank you very much. Not even we'll see how you get on, but thank you very much and goodbye.
Yeah, even though he was under contract with them, but I mean, I think we would like both. So you know, hopefully, Al Smith. I mean, Owen Goodman is an interesting one because you think his next step up would be going in League One, which is what we are now, but it might be that Palace want him to play for a team with a different sort of style. You know, get used to, so he's got different options. I mean, I don't know in League One who is looking for a goalkeeper.
Well, here's the thing. Palace, Goodman is at best fifth choice at Palace. So they've obviously got the number one, who is Dean Henderson, who's back in the England squad. They had Sam Johnstone, he's gone. So they've got number two. I don't know who the number two is. Number three is Joe Whitworth, who was in our academy as well. And he was player of the year at Exeter. In League One, the season just finished. So he's ahead of Goodman, and he's a year above Goodman, even though I think he's actually younger than Goodman. So Goodman's behind him. So he's not going to get anywhere near even like the Palace squad. Even if Whitworth goes into the Palace squad as third choice, maybe an option for EFL Cup type games, then Goodman still goes out on loan. And then he goes, if they want to send him up north, then any number of clubs could pick and choose, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just interested to know if someone like Bolton, for instance, I'm sure I've heard their name mentioned in relation to Goodman, but I didn't know whether they had a goalkeeper or not. So, you know, so I guess.
But why would they? I mean, so you're saying they would send him somewhere else just for a different type of defensive lineup in front of him to see how he
goes. Learn from? Yeah, I mean, possibly.
Yeah, different experience.
I mean, a different experience this year would be he'll have a hell of a lot more shots.
Well, that's why they sent him to Colchester, because they didn't think Colchester were going to pull up any trees. And even though Colchester were doing poorly, they left him there because the experience of playing behind a leaky defence. I mean, he was in goal for that game at Christmas time 2023 when Ali scored some of the last goals he scored for us, and we won something like 5-2 at home to Colchester. But even then, in that game, he made some decent saves, even though late in five.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So then, just going back over it then, Ryan Johnson, are we keeping him or not keeping him?
I'd keep him.
Yeah. Nerfeld, we'd like to keep him. Do we think we'll keep him?
No.
No.
I'd love to, but the other thing is, and this goes right back to Steve Gallier's days, one of my boyhood heroes after John Leslie. Once someone becomes player of the year, they never stay.
I know, they never do stay. James Tilley, keep him or is he going?
I think he'll stay.
I
think he'll stay.
Okay, I think he'll go. So two each for going, two for him staying. Goodman, do we get him back or not? Will he come back?
Very unlikely.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. And Ali Smith?
I think yes.
I think yes.
I think yes.
Okay.
I definitely like to hope so.
And then last one, Hutchinson. We think yes.
Yeah.
And Brown, yeah. And Brown, we're thinking probably not.
I think Brown will push for a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Which we could afford, but we can't afford that and a striker.
Yeah.
And if we think that we were so reliant on Stevens and Omar was behind that, you know, are we really going to go into the season with Stevens, Omar, Kelly and Sasu as our main front four and Foyo? I doubt it. We'll probably probably loan out Foyo and Sasu potentially.
Yeah. Okay then. Well, there you are. So, I mean, it's coming together. I think there's going to be some interesting comings and going over the next few weeks. But we've finished this season now. It's, you know, and I don't know if we've mentioned it before, but we are actually going up into League One. I'm not sure how many times you've watched clips of it. The uncovered thing, I think, is my favourite thing so far. I've watched that quite a few times.
I've watched that about four. I don't want to say how many times, actually.
And there's a wonderful clip that came up today on socials of the two views of Hippolyte's goal, sort of one from behind and one from in front as he's striking it. Beautiful. So, any clips, I'm just watching it. And we're all waiting for the third episode to come out.
Oh, I'm like, honestly, it's more like it's worse than a Netflix thing or whatever. So it's like, come on.
So when that comes out, then that'll be really exciting. And I think what I might do is watch them again, like, you know, for the first and second episode. And, you know,
it's like binging Star Wars.
Binge watch. Yeah, exactly.
Totally going to be binge watching the whole thing. So, like, come on.
So our season review, and I've got three categories here. So,
I'm hating this section already.
So I was going to say, well, I don't know how much time we've got. We've got a bit more to get through.
It's the last one of the year. Come on.
Yeah. We'll just keep going. Would you say your top? Top five matches. Goals of the season are sort of standout moments. Mark, what would you say your top five matches are?
Top five matches, okay. Because I've got a programme, therefore I can do it in chronological order. 3-0 September the 14th against the team from Buckinghamshire.
Yep, it's on my list.
4-0 against Carlisle at home.
Oh, yeah.
That was my sixth. That didn't make it, nearly.
Yeah.
1-0 against Doncaster, December the 14th. That's three. The 2-0 Notts County home win in the league, which is 8th of March.
Yeah.
And then probably the Notts County home game, the second playoff final. Not for the quality of the game, but just for the pure emotional release from the crowd and from myself and from my wife and kids as well at the final whistle.
That is interesting. So you've not got a Walsall game in there?
No, the Wembley final.
Yeah, the Wembley final.
No, maybe because I was drinking and I don't really drink at football, so I had a totally different emotion then. But I felt more emotional and more just whatever else
at the other games,
the semi-final game. At the final, I was like sharing it with loads of other different people and having a few beers and whatever else. And as I say, it will only sink in when I stop looking at the League Two BBC sport page because we're not on it anymore.
Okay, and Niall, what have you got?
You need to ask me why the Carlisle game, by the way, but you know, you can come back to it
because we got four goals.
No,
surely.
It's not because of that.
It's not because of that. What is it then?
So I know it's easy because I've got the programme here, right? But so we played Colchester, we won 4-2. Then we played Ipswich in the Cup. And then we played Fleetwood, we won 1-0. Then we beat Franchise. So they were the first three home games. Franchise home was the 14th of September. That 4-0 win against Carlisle was the 12th of October. It's the first game post pitch eruption.
Yeah.
I got to say, when I saw the first pictures of the pitch eruption and you start seeing stuff on socials or whatever and all the news reports, I genuinely thought, and obviously Ivor put something out there about we'll not play at home till Christmas or something. I genuinely thought this is it. We're kiboshed. We've got no issues, no opportunities. It's going to cost us loads of money. The season's in ruins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And not only did we get back within a month, thanks to loads of amazing efforts, which was also commemorated, as Matt will go on to tell us about, at the Nightingale Testimonium. But also, it happened within a month, and in that first game back, we won comfortably against a team who, it turns out, were absolutely pants. And Max Dim scored a hat-trick. Can't get any better than that, really.
No, that you're right. That is an awesome game. It's interesting. Three of those aren't on my list. Niall, what have you got?
So I obviously have the 3-0 home win. I have, and my other ones was Ipswich Town.
Yeah,
being a Premier League team is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I have the Walsall playoff final. I kind of think you can't not have that. So that was definitely in there. And then it was the last two away games. So Notts County away and Grimsby away. So I think they were so important at such that time. And if you take the Grimsby game, given Sam Hutchinson, unbelievable. Just absolutely unbelievable. And that was like that for me, particularly considering it came just a few days after our fantastic I Believe video, which clearly inspired the team. But that was it. We were all feeling really low and down, and that just gave us the lift we needed, that Grimsby away game. I think that for me was such an important game in our whole season.
Okay, excellent. All right. And Adam, have you done your homework?
I'm going to try. I haven't done my homework. Okay. I've been scrolling through the fixtures to try and think what... I don't necessarily remember any of these games particularly, because I go to football on a Saturday to kind of de-stress. And so that basically means I just don't really care what's going on as long as we're winning. So I'm going to say, I think the first game of the season, the fact that we came out winning 4-2, came back from, like, what was it, 2?
2-2.
Yeah.
Jackson.
That
was cool, you know. So that's a really sprightly start. Yeah, I've forgotten about the Carlisle game, so I'm going to add that one. After the pitch explosion, I think that's major. And I guess we're still getting a bit of a pitch inspection in the summer, even though we've got, less time. And I'm going to also, like Niall said, the Grimsby away game. I think that was massive for us.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely massive. And I'm probably going to say both Notts County games and the final. Because that end of the season, those four games at the end of the season... we were culminating in winning, but my word, we didn't, we looked solid. Defensively, we didn't clean sheets, all the stuff. And there's that clip, isn't there, of when they did the player awards, which we obviously agree was a bad because it's behind closed doors or whatever, where Goodman said, we're going to, four more clean sheets. And that's literally what happened. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I think from that Grimsby game onwards, everyone just was, like, on it. And, yeah, like Mark, I don't really remember much of the final at all, to be honest, because I was, too many beers, too stressed, too much enjoying the hype. But who remembers a final? What you remember is we won, and it was amazing,
I remember it. I don't drink anymore, so it's, like, easier for me.
Hey, but we did find out at the World Testimonial that they were now doing orange juice behind the bar. Yeah. So let's just hope that with our new contract, they don't screw that up.
Maybe that was the start of it. I think mine were, and so we've all covered. You've between the three of you, you've covered the games I had was Colchester at home, just because I thought that was a statement thing. We had to put some sort of statement out, and going from two down to the brilliant sort it out, Jackson. Shout in the stands to us winning 4-2. That was brilliant. Ipswich in the League Cup, I think to beat aside that, and you know, to do it in that manner, and that was, you know, was fantastic in that as well. Again, I can't look beyond franchise, because even though the season before would always be the game for me, that was a moment where we kind of put everything to bed. Do you know what I mean? We were so
in control. I can never vote for that game because it shouldn't happen.
We were so in control of everything. It was just fantastic. I think the Notts County, the home leg of the Notts County game was brilliant. I mean, and mainly because I saw Josh Nerville's amazing goal, and then the Walsall Cup final, just like that was just beautiful. So we've got between us a top three, which is like franchise, the home leg of the Notts County and the Walsall match. And
how
then
did franchise get in the top three? Well, I didn't vote for that one.
No, everyone else did.
We all did that.
Yeah.
Oh, damage.
And then after that, we've got two votes for the Colchester game, two for Ipswich, two for Notts County away, two for Grimsby away, and two for Carlisle. So those are our pick of the season between us. So. Dear listener, you can agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. We are right. So that's fantastic. And then what about goal of the season? Because you know, obviously they did the vote online, and for me, there's only one
option.
Yeah,
Josh Nerville at home in the playoff semi.
That's.
There are two options because Tilly's was good, but I think Nerfield's takes it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I can't even remember which one I voted for on the online thing, but yeah, Nerfield probably wins now.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, certainly the top five to be considered would have been Hippolytes as well, because that is an amazing daisy cutter of a strike to win playoff final. So I would say that, you know, the club could rerun the goal of the season award and get a different result. But Nerfield, that touch and that brilliant knot, I mean, it was just exquisite. So that would be mine, but I think Hippolyte would be very close behind that, to be honest with you. Amazing to take it first time like that, daisy cutter in the corner, keeper had no chance, and we won the final. Have I mentioned that we're going up? Anyhow, and so in terms of standout moments of the season, I guess, you know, the biggest thing was the pitch blowing up. Was just like, what the hell happened there? And everything that went beyond that, the raising of the money, it was all over the news. It was just incredible that happened. And then we had all these clubs come behind us, which, you know, showed the football family was just brilliant. So that was a lovely moment, from that disaster to actually everyone coming together and pulling behind us was fantastic.
It was nuts. Honestly, I'd almost, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about how insane that was. You know, it's kind of so stressful at the time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we were worrying about winning games and whatever. But yeah, it's like just bananas.
How many?
Absolutely bananas.
And we played at QPR.
Yeah, how many games do we even play there?
Yeah, that's kind of like, it's a weird thing, isn't it? When I don't even know if I'm making that up now. That's some sort of weird dream, because just everything was so weird, that whole thing.
We just played loads of away games, didn't we?
Did we just play loads of away games?
Yeah, because wasn't there a discussion about we might play at QPR?
Yeah, we might play at QPR. And we obviously did play QPR in the...
That was during when COVID or whatever.
That was before the stadium was going to be built. Yeah. Dear me, really. I've got to sort my memory out. And I think the other thing to say, as stand-up moments, the women's team. Such a small budget. And that, you know, they did brilliantly. Finished mid-table. Some great results in there against sides with huge budgets. and they carried on the tradition of slaughtering the franchise, which I think we did virtually at every level last season, which was quite fun. But they did brilliantly. So many congratulations there. Just
yeah,
fantastic.
But we didn't do brilliantly, did we? Because we didn't make
we
it
didn't, no,
to
we
a
didn't,
game.
We
and
didn't
we spent
it,
the
no.
whole of this season's podcast really saying yeah. that we'd make it to a game, and then we blew it. So
we didn't.
I don't yeah. know. I don't know.
We offer our...
I don't know how we're going to fix that, but we probably shouldn't spend next season talking about the fact that.
And
we're
it's quite
go
an easy way to fix it, Adam, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but we're going to say that, and then something happens.
And then we won't go. Yeah. So okay, we can only talk about going if we actually have gone.
I think we should talk. Yeah, exactly. We will only discuss this after we've been, and yeah. then we'll have a full report, and hopefully yeah. it will be useful.
Yeah, but that was so. I mean, there are many, and the youth teams have done fantastically. So it has been. At the end of it, it's been an amazing season. You know, our highest ever finish in League Two is AFC Wimbledon. You know, those 4-1-0 games in a row were fantastic. Some brilliant goals, some standout matches, some controversial moments as well. I'm thinking of the Matty Stevens goal against Gillingham at home, and Matty Stevens goal against Swindon, which should have stood at home, which was ruled out. So, you know, just that has been an incredible time. So, you know, well done the team, well done all the team, and behind the scenes as well. The foundation continues to do brilliant work. DLAG continues to do brilliant work. Wish did that brilliant 75th anniversary. The anniversary of this team from 1975. I'll get there eventually. So some brilliant stuff that's happened. And obviously, because of the flood, we've got a wonderful new exhibition space, which has come up there as well. So it's all been fantastic. Is there anything else that people are thinking and what are people looking forward to next season?
New grounds, definitely.
Yeah.
God, sorry, Mark, can you...
No, that's it. Really, new ground. I mean, I went to the old Cardiff ground like 40 years ago with my dad. My dad's from, he grew up in that neck of the woods. He lives in Somerset now. So if I could get him to see modern Wimbledon Cardiff, though, in a quite modern stadium, it's a fair walk. Adam asked me this. It's a fair walk from the town centre. I know Cardiff town centre quite well. Yeah, it's definitely a good day out. I suspect they will be one of the... teams to beat in League One, though they'll have the resources in terms of looking at the managers that apparently have been interviewed there. I don't think they'll take a risk on Aaron Ramsey. They'll probably go for someone like Des Buckingham, the old ex-Oxford boss, who obviously has got experience of that division. But lots of northern grounds again, but you know, definitely some new grounds that we haven't been to before will be nice to take in.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to all that. Going to see some new grounds and hopefully holding our own against some of these teams. You know, we'll see. I think we've got Quade Cope. We've got some good things. Nice. Just something you're looking forward to in League One?
I think it's the games, grounds that I was looking at, because when we were looking at the grounds we've all been to, and it's, you know, I start going, I do want some new grounds, but, you know, going to Blackpool, Exeter, Plymouth, like those ones, they're all grounds that, but we've been to all of those, even been to Mansfield, you know, but I might go to Rotherham. There you go. That'd be quite an odd one because we've got friends.
Rotherham is a very old stadium. We went there just before COVID and the Rotherham area, apologies to anyone who's from Rotherham. The Rotherham area is the bit of South Yorkshire, which is a bit like the movies you saw in like the lads that ended up in the Full Monty, you know, they all laid off from the local steelworks and so on, right? That's that Rotherham bit. And then the owners of Rotherham built this massive spaceship-type stadium in the middle of nowhere, literally across the road from Millmore, the old ground, which is still there, next to the old disused steelworks. But the ground is really brand new and spanking, but just looks like a typical stadium that you'd see without any particular individuality, so to speak.
Well,
But there's
the thing
nothing
is,
around it
we've
whatsoever.
got friends. We've got.
Pryor scored a penalty in the last minute, and that was the last away game we played before COVID.
Wow.
That one, it's literally because of friends. I mean, we've got to have a look and think about where we'd actually like to go rather than actually, you know, because I don't really want to go to Rotherham. I have to say, I personally, I'm no fan of Blackpool as a town at all, but I would go to Blackpool because it was near where I went to uni. So I'd go like the 40-minute drive to where I went to uni rather than actually stay in Blackpool.
Yeah.
I don't like it. You know, but whatever. Maybe one of the Manchester teams, perhaps. I don't know.
I'm kind of like
Bolton.
looking forward to Huddersfield for a reason that I don't quite understand. But Huddersfield, I'd say Huddersfield, Cardiff, and Blackpool is quite a laugh. I think if we can, we need to have a day out again, chaps. So we'll sort out our Save
Oh,
Our
for sure.
Wombles,
Absolutely.
Save Our Wombles trip. Right. Okay. This is a bumper episode, everybody, and we're still bumpering along. There's some more bumpering to do.
I was gonna say my excitement for next season though was like much more improved refereeing. Surely that's what's gonna happen.
Oh,
Like, you're getting carried away there, mate.
Adam, I think Adam, you're still going to be angry. There's still going to be things you're going to be angry about.
Adam, save
Don't
your
ever
excitement
change.
for Adam, save your excitement for the new home kit.
That's true. That's true. But Cardiff, I think Cardiff, I think we've got to, depending on the fixture list, and they also the Sky whatever will probably screw things up. But as soon as the fixtures come out, I think Cardiff has got to be on our top of our priority list,
Not
surely.
fancying Cardiff at 12:30 on a whatever Tuesday
Sunday.
night or something stupid. Tuesday afternoon, something stupid. Whatever. Anyway, Matt, sorry.
No. So, you know, we should. We're gonna have to try and do some more episodes over the summer. Sorry, Adam.
We're the only podcast that's going to be going over the summer. Oh.
The Fair Game conference was last week, which was fantastic. I don't know, Niall, if you want to give us a little bit of a roundup about that before we round up our program with some bits and bobs.
Right. So then just the thing with the Fair Game conference, which was brilliant at Wimbledon, it was great. Really good people, really good speakers. It was we had like 14 different clubs all talking about the issues they went through. It was just a great networking thing. It wasn't like anything corporate. It was all about people who wanted to actually say how football could be a force for good. So we had Show Race and the Red Card, Women in Football, Level Playing Field, Football Future and Environmental Group. We had Sheffield Wednesday, Bolton, Chester, Bury, Reading, Everton, you know, loads of clubs that had all been in crisis recently, Derby. You know, it was just really good. Don's Local Action were there, Sports Local Action as well. You know, lots of the Don's Trust board were around as well. It's just a brilliant day, a brilliant couple of days. Fantastic MC on the second day. Thank
Amazing.
you, mate. And then the big news really came the day after, which was Fair Game has been campaigning for 4 years on a whole range of things for a football governance bill. And late Friday, we got a news that the government tabled an amendment, and basically a government amendment to a bill basically means it's going to happen, which links the distribution deal to what will be the findings of the State of the Game report, which will highlight the problems in football's financial structure. That's massive. That basically means every academic we know has always said there is a problem about the financial gap between the divisions, parachute payments, you know, how you support clubs lower down the pyramid. Every single academic that we work with, all the experts, all in that case, the EFL, all in that case, that link is probably worth hundreds of thousands of pounds a year to Wimbledon. That's the reality. That's what that phone call on Friday means. It's massive. That's a significant difference. That for me was what Fair Game had been campaigning for 4 years. It's still, look, there's still other elements. It needs to be, I still need to be dotted, you know, the T still needs to be crossed. But getting that news through was like, for me, it was just like, I can't believe it. I basically feel like, you know, not I can't necessarily shout and scream about it too much, but that's a win. That's a big win for what we've been putting working for such a long length of time. Loads of lobbying, loads of speaking to clubs, all of that. And it's like it could really be a potential turning point for football in this country.
And that is like a government amendment, and that, you know, it's rare that they then get defeated when it goes into discussions with the Commons. So now, remind me the timetable on all of this, because I think things have slipped, because we were, you know, everything was hoping that things would be done by now. So when might it go to be voted on or in committee or any of that sort of stuff? When does it become law?
First committee, quickly, the bill committee meets the first time on Tuesday. They will finish by the 24th of June. It will then go to report stage. Report stage takes 3 days. They're not on consecutive days. We'll be looking at mid-July, and then the final vote on the bill probably will be like 20th of July, something like that. And that will be when the Football Governance Bill becomes an act. The regulator is already operational, but from that date, it will be able to actually start enforcing changes on football clubs and licensing and regulating football clubs and saying, you're doing things the wrong way, and start actually intervening in football.
And what about, and do we know who the regulator is?
Yeah, it's a slightly controversial, right, we'll save that for another episode, Matt. Ask me next week. It's a long bit there. We've already talked a lot about the regulator, and I'm wary that Mark's already switched off. Adam's basically picking his nose, and Trisha's like, got bored to tears in the States. So, like, we'll leave that for another day, Matt.
But we have got an idea who that might be.
Yes, we do know. It's probably a guy called David Corgan, and I'm not going any further than that, but you can all Google
it. What excites me about the football regulator is that there's a guy who's been one of the volunteers at FC Wimbledon who told me that he's just been offered a job with them, which is great. And he's a really decent bloke, so just one. I know one individual can't change a whole organisation, but I'm glad that he's got a definite opportunity, and he's properly on board with everything that Wimbledon are the virtues and everything else, and the way Wimbledon's set up with the ethos. So yeah, that's great.
It's great. No, and all your work, mate, is paying off. It's fantastic. The conference was brilliant. Loads of great stuff being discussed. Things, you know, talking about what's going on in Europe, which was interesting. Issues with the, you know, what's going on here. I'm sure Niall's on some podcasts where you'll be talking about this. I know you were on the Price of Football podcast, weren't you, with Kevin Day recently? And I think I'm sure you'll be making other appearances on other podcasts, which we'll mention as well when that happens.
Thank you, mate.
No, it's great work, mate.
And I was going to say, like, I had people out, sort of outside of football or whatever, who are not, they're football fans, but message me and say, hey, is there some conference happening at AFC Wimbledon? And I was like, oh, yeah, my friend's, like, in charge of that stuff. And, yes, because it was through a whole group around sort of Games for Change and games for political sort of stuff, and they were sort of connected through what's, I think, called Policy Lab and Labour and stuff. So that was really cool. And they were like, oh, this is great. So, yeah, I think clearly the right noises are being made by Fair Game, even outside of the kind of football ecosystem, which is, yeah, it was quite exciting to get. It was quite exciting for me to get messages from other people I know completely outside of football to go, hey, there's something going on at AFC Wimbledon. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know about that.
No, it was fantastic. Okay. We're kind of going to end on a couple of things. So, It was a wonderful Will Nightingale's testimonial on Sunday. I'm not sure the official number, the official attendance was, but I felt like there was 1,500
maybe
people.
More.
Maybe,
yeah, the stand
more,
was pretty full.
Yeah, the main stand was full. So it was great to see so many people there. Brilliant to see, I hope Basal was there and played for loads of it. So. And Kelleroos was there in goal. And Adam, have you got any tidbits, anything? Were you speaking to some of the players afterwards? Are you speaking?
I
to
did.
Kel
I got
Roos?
A bit. I did. I made the effort to go and see to talk to Roos and Bullman. It was cool. Yeah, I was a bit starstruck, to be honest. Mark,
you
was,
mean Fuller, not Bullman?
Sorry. Okay. Yes, Fuller. You're right. See, this is the problem. I was
wasn't there.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I got a bit. It was a bit mad because me and Mark obviously stayed afterwards for quite a bit, and there was loads of people in the pub afterwards, and I was a bit starstruck, to be honest. It was a bit of a nightmare, And I was kind of, no, I can't talk to these people. And Mark was like, go on, you talk to them. And yeah, and I was a big fan of Roos, obviously, back in the day. And I did ask him whether it would be, you know, whether he would come back to us. And he didn't rule that out, to say the least, which was cool. So yeah, it was just mad. It was mad. Like there was loads, like it was mad.
So this is my thing. This is my thing. I think two things from that is Kel Roos is going to come back in goal for us, and Ayoub Assad is going to sign on loan from Qatar, because I don't think he's playing in the top side there. So I think he's going to come back. He's going to get his game going with us and then go back to Qatar after that. So there you are. Those are my two things.
I was going to say the big thing again, which I think we were always worried about losing when we went to Plough Lane and whatever, is that having that close proximity with our players. And we haven't lost that, you know. They didn't need to come down to the bar, you know. To be honest, the funniest thing about it was they would obviously, for whatever reason, they'd been given glass bottles of Budweiser at some point. I don't know where they were given those, and then they were coming down to the pub, and security were like telling them off because they were bringing glass bottles in. And they It was like they didn't know they were players or whatever. And it was like, yeah. So that was quite amusing.
But obviously,
not as amusing as when we asked Alex Woodyard for an interview.
Yeah. So
and the first thing he said was, "Can I go and have a wee?"
Yeah. Oh dear me, there were so many wrong things with that interview. Got to get the name of your own podcast right. That's the first rule. But anyhow, so we managed to talk to a few people between us. We had a chat with John Main, Danny Kebwell and Alex Woodyard, and here you can hear what they had to say.
So we're delighted to be joined now on the Same Old Wombles podcast by Wimbledon legend John Main. So what do you make of your dad?
did I run around?
There you go. John, how did you enjoy that today?
I loved it, mate. It's always good to come back here. Buzzing for Will. He deserves it. It's good to see everyone again.
Do you like the way that John Main there just spoke like a complete football pro in his kind of media analysis? John, mate, we all think you're great, you're a legend. Wonderful to have you back here. Now, what does it mean to be playing on the pitch of Plough Lane?
Well, it's hard work, to be honest with you. Nah, I love putting a shirt on. Again, mate, great day.
One big thing, who looked bigger? Danny Kebwell or Adiak Fenwa? We were struggling.
I don't know. I'll leave that one to you.
probably Seb, to be fair. Me, Seb yeah. Brown.
Cheers, John. Thank you so much, mate. So, really, really good news to have. And we now have Danny Kebwell with us, which is brilliant. Danny, we've just been speaking to John Main. And John wasn't sure whether you were larger or Adiak Fenwa. Can you enlighten us on that one?
I'm definitely not larger than him. No chance.
No, Danny, so listen, obviously you're out there playing on Plough Lane. What did you make of it? Did you enjoy the experience?
Yes, I love it. Yes. Every time I come back, I love it. So anytime I get asked, I'm there. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's always going to be with me. So to play back and play here, obviously I've never played here in the league or anything, but which is a shame. But, yeah, it's a lovely stadium. And you deserve it, do you know what I mean? To be playing at a great stadium.
Right, Danny, so I'm going to take you back a few years to a certain penalty. Just talk us through what it was like walking up there and hitting that ball.
Just walking up. I don't know, it was weird. I just knew I was going to score. I knew what I was doing. And yeah, it was just like a mind blank, really. Just, yeah, it's such a weird feeling. But I didn't have no nerves, nothing. I just knew I was going to score.
And the emotion afterwards, when you actually hit the ball to the back of the net, what was it like? What did it feel like?
I was mad. I can't explain. I got stitched. But played 90 minutes in extra time, didn't get stitched. I scored that and then ran off and I got stitched. So my whole body felt like shut down, to be honest. It was like such a relief of, I think, the build-up, especially getting back in the Football League, the history of what happened, and yeah, I think it was just mainly a relief more than anything.
Brilliant, Danny. So obviously there's a book that's obviously got your words on the front of it. This is Our Time. What does that mean to you, having that?
Oh, that's amazing as well. When I first see it, I was like, oh wow. So yeah, it's amazing. Like, another amazing thing that I've done in my career, and obviously a book name what I said to the boys before we took the penalties. So yes, it's another amazing thing.
Okay, and that's my ego now through the roof. I'm the author of that book, so Danny, thank you, mate.
Well done.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.
Hello, here we are with the same old Rumbles podcast. That's a different podcast. And we're with Alex. Good God, how are you doing, my friend? You all right?
Yeah, good, mate. Very good. Yeah. Great to be back. Great to see some familiar faces. And yeah, it's been a great deal, great day for Will. And it's been, like I said, brilliant day to be back here.
So when did Will get in touch with you about coming along to do this?
I think it was a couple of months ago he mentioned it. And straight away, yeah, I booked all my holidays around it to make sure I could be here today.
You actually booked your holidays around it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mate, that's amazing.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you very 100%
much for doing that. Great to be here for Will, and also for me as well to come back and play at Plough Lane. Do you know what I mean?
What was it like on that pitch?
Oh, excellent. Since I've left, to be honest, I've missed it all every day. You know, always wondering what if, but yeah, no, it's great. It's great to be back.
That's brilliant. And what are you up to now?
Not much, obviously, off season now. Like I said, been on a few holidays, trying to keep fit and go back to Sutton for pre season soon.
Yeah, you're looking forward to that next season?
Yeah, I am. I'm not looking forward to pre season, but I'm looking forward to the season.
Oh, well, it's been awesome. Awesome having you down here. What was it like playing with all the legends on the pitch?
Yeah, it was good. It was, like I said, it was a great day. It's just good to be out there playing with some familiar faces, you know. Boys younger than me, boys older than me. It was brilliant. Great day and very special day for Will.
Yeah, it was great.
One very important question, right? Danny Kebwell, Akin Benoit, Seb Brown. Who's the fattest?
Wow! I'm so sorry, Alex. You don't need to. Do you know what I mean? It just jumps in there with that.
I've asked John Main and I've asked Danny Kebwell, so you're an independent voice.
To be fair, I don't know. I've not seen them with their tops off yet, but I could probably tell you who the strongest is.
Yeah.
Probably Bayo, isn't it? Yeah. Brilliant day. Excellent day for Will.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, thank you so much for coming along, my friend. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
We'll catch you soon. Take care. Cheers. So that was the brilliant, and it was great to chat to them all. That everyone was loving Will, and I thought that was the most beautiful thing. What's the most beautiful thing was Neil Ardley's thing afterwards, where he said, and quite rightly, it's not just he was a brilliant player and for the club and an ambassador for us, and he did so much stuff with DLAG and with Wish. When I was putting stuff together, he came out and he did the video stuff there. He was brilliant. So it's not just that he was a great footballer, he's just a great human being. And I think
he also wished you happy birthday on your 50th.
He did. As did many. He's just a great guy, and I wish him all the best. I have no idea where he'll end up next season. I'm thinking
Woking with Neil Ardley, surely.
Yeah. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. So that was great. It was good fun, wasn't it, Mark?
I enjoyed it. I mean, look, it's a testimonial, so the standard wasn't high.
Yeah.
My wife did say towards the end of the game she's a bit bored. Yeah. But considering there was lots of players that were, I had to check on socials later on to see who they actually were because I didn't recognise any of them.
No,
only Alan Bennett played, but I didn't recognise him until someone pointed out he was the older guy with the waft of grey hair. But Asal was a class above. Good to see Elliot Bolton, a lad who I know and I know his family as well, who never quite got the opportunity to break through, but he came through the same academy year as Jack Carey, and he did well in midfield. Morgan Williams looked really good, and that was just frustrating.
On Elliot,
never had the
on Elliot, Mark. We have to remember Elliot, I believe, was the first mascot of AS Wimbledon.
Yes, he was. Absolutely right.
So carried in the arms.
Weeks old.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And also, the other great thing was that Danny Kebwell's son came on and played, and he's joined our academy, I believe. So, which is fantastic as well. And I know a lot of people are going to be asking this question. What was the score? It was 3-2 to Wimbledon against Wimbledon. So
it was 3-2 to Slim Wimbledon against Fat Wimbledon.
Yeah, the team in white and the team in stripes. No one played in blue.
Lucky at no point did I ask any of our ex-players, as you've just heard, anything about it. Didn't ask whatever.
Dear me.
That would be embarrassing.
The thing was that on the scoreboard, the crests, one of them was like stretched larger. And I'm like,
that's what I mean.
It was like, must
slim
have been
Wimbledon against fat Wimbledon.
Must have been done on purpose, because it's like, how do you like, clearly you just upload the two crests.
One was skinny and one was fat.
Well, one was the regular shape, and the other one had been like distorted. So it's like, what?
The distorted one was the Akinfenva team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can we just say the first goal, because the I think they would be called the Legends. They went ahead 1-0, and I've never seen a more offside goal in my life.
The linesman
came out of the crowd. Were they?
They were randos.
Yeah, it was.
The linesman, you know, to be honest, linesman was obviously one of the fans, and clearly he was going, I'm giving this goal to Danny Kebwell.
Yeah, that's
of course you are.
It's so funny. It was great though, and Mikey T was doing the commentary. And he was fantastic, and also with some wonderful interviews on the pitch with Stuart Deakins. Did fantastic. Stuart Deakins did some interviews with Robbo and Downs and Artie.
Stuart Deakins, what, this podcast, Matt?
No. You'd have thought podcast, so, wouldn't you? The other printed podcast.
My main worry now is that the lino that I didn't like, who had the baseball cap on, perched on his head, Chelsea jacket, didn't actually know where to be at all from the fans. You know, obviously, he's probably going to be one of my favourite players going forward. He's surely has got to be some youth player, and I'll be loving him.
Did you tell him he only had one job?
Yeah. You got one job, Lino. This poor kid's come out of the crowd, and Adam was giving him hell. It's like, this kid's volunteered.
Well, he just didn't know what he was doing at all. Like, come on. Even if you're a...
Because he just wanted to be on the line. He just wanted
no,
to...
No, I reckon he's some youth player. I'm sure he must be. He must be. He's too cool to not be.
Adam. Concentrate on the home kit.
Yeah. So, anyhow, it was great. It was good fun. And we're really pleased that Will got the send-off he deserved. And obviously, if you want to hear more from Will himself, you can go back a few episodes, because we spoke to the man. And he's just such a gent. So... all the best to you, Will Nightingale. And now, drum roll, people. Dun-dun-dun. It's the same old Wombles Awards. Woo! Last season, it was very exciting. We got very excited because we were able to give them away at the last game of the season when they do the Player of the Awards properly. So we managed to get rid of our four awards. This time, we managed to get rid of two. Of our awards.
Present, not get rid of.
I was carrying around for so long, it just felt like I was getting rid of them.
The fact that we managed to sort out two is like beyond belief anyway, because I thought we were going to be stuffed. Yeah. I thought we were probably going to do none.
Oh, dear me. So, anyhow, I'm going to have to remember what our awards were. So, right then.
Play audio, Matt.
We've got the audio. This
I can't believe you're doing this out of sequence. I'm literally making notes when you go. No, because the player interviews were like after the game. The awards were like random bits on video. It's like I'm literally having to write down what times are.
I know, but we're
like,
we're ending on the crescendo. So first of all, the first award was the Harry Pell Award for Best Off-Field Contribution. And the winner was Graham Doobs Stacey, for all of the work he did when the pitch exploded and all the money that he raised and everything he was got to profile the club. At that particular time, he did some brilliant work.
Okay, here we are, same old Wombles. We're here for the Will Nightingale night event, and we're also here to give out some of our Sober Wombles awards. It's great, and as a fact, there seems to be about 1,000 people or so here. So anyhow, we're looking to do this, and we're just going to miss Neil Ardies giving his little bit of a presentation. So let's see if we can find. We found Niall. We found Mark Lewis. Graham.
Oh, Graham says it. I wouldn't go loo with it. You didn't tell me that.
Right then, so I've just high-fived Hayden the Womble. Going past my man, Luke, come on. And oh, here we go. Doobs, 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 Graham Stacey.
Graham Stacey.
Graham Stacey, our man. The hero that is. The legend. The legend. So this is our first.
So welcome, you obviously made me realise this, but this is the same old Wombles podcast.
Yes, we're the same old Wombles podcast. Good.
Same old Wombles podcast, Mike.
That's Adam. That's producer Adam.
Our man with the buttons. So, anyhow, the same old Wombles. We have a collection of awards that we do, our annual awards every year, and we have one award, which we gave to Harry Pell last year. Now it's called the Harry Pell Award. Right. This is for the best
achievement off the pitch.
The right. best achievement off the pitch. And our award this year...
He got kicking into the franchise frame.
Oh, yes.
But this year, our Harry Pell Award goes to Graham Stacey Doobs. Many congratulations.
Many congratulations.
What a wonderful effort. Well done. Spearheading all the fundraising relating to the pitch.
Oh. And everything. Yeah, everything you've done, my friend.
Congratulations.
So now
our winner of the Harry Pell Award is...
Graham Stacey. Many congratulations. Many, many congratulations.
Thank you. Cheers.
You're welcome. Have a look.
I didn't really do anything, so thank you. Oh. I didn't kick a ball at anything.
Modest as ever.
Or anything, so... No, but next year I'll kick a ball at Franny's. But, bloody hell.
Yeah, don't drop it.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
God,
it's got my name on it, so this wasn't like a...
No, it's deliberate.
Real.
We didn't
just
make it up.
This is actually a real award. Really for you.
We didn't raise the money any more than Noel wrote a book. Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah,
you facilitated the money.
Yeah, I just happened to be there, but everyone else sort of put the money in. It's got my name on it.
All right, Martin.
It's got your name on it. It's real.
Martin, rather than being rude, can you take a picture of...
No.
Come on, man.
Say the magic word.
Please.
Our next award, and this is one of my favourite awards. I love that it's so sweet, this award. Everyone just, it's beautiful. We now call this the Mandy Award, and this is for the best club contribution. So someone working within the club. And our award this year went to Maddie Sweetman and at the AFC Wimbledon Foundation, all the brilliant work she does. And this was an amazing moment. So listen to Maddie receiving her award.
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay, all right. We're just crawling along. We'll just see. We found Maddie Sweetman. Been spotted out for us. So we're now crossing over, trying to get down to the edge. See if we can grab her. But she's there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people between us. Now the teams are being clapped off. It's getting quite stressful trying to hand out these awards. Not sure how much of a good idea these things are, to be honest with you. Anyhow, see if we can... might have to come back to you in a second. See if we can grab a word with her. But we can see her, and that's the important thing. And we're right now, we're next to Dickie Guy, who's there. And I think that's Dickie's wife next to us. And obviously you can listen to the Will Nightingale podcast that we did that was, a bit of a revelation. I think we did quite well with that. Right, we've managed to grab her. This is exciting. Hi, Maddie, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well. We're from the same old Wombles podcast. So we did a little podcast. We did a little vote amongst ourselves because we have this best club person of the year award. And it's called the Mandy Award, and this year you are the recipient of the. Yeah, so our club person of the year.
That is amazing! Thank you guys so much. Oh my god, I was not expecting that.
There you are.
Oh my god, thank you. Honestly, that is amazing.
Well, we've heard all about everything you've done and all this, the work you've done with the foundation, so it's so amazing.
Honestly, that is, I I don't even know what I'm speaking about. I was not expecting that at all. I thought you were just going to be like, oh, can you see if you can get us a ball or something?
There you
go. That is amazing. Oh, I'm going to love that. I'm going to use it for my hot chocolate.
There you are. Yeah, and here's a box to keep it safe in. So, oh, no, so you're amazing. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Like, honestly, this club wouldn't work if we all didn't put our, like, 2 pence in, you know? So yeah. It's all of us that collectively do it. But,
I know. But,
oh, my God, that is amazing. But, look,
people need a little bit of attention. So there you are. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, awesome.
I'm not worried. Hopefully we'll get to see the trophy. Fingers crossed. If not, I'll see you out there.
Cool. Take care. Yeah. There you are. We managed to get rid of 2.
I spoke to Maddie afterwards, and she said she phoned her mum, and she was so excited about that. We'd given this award. And she phoned her mum and said, I've got another mug for the cupboard. And her mum started mouthing off.
I almost fell over trying to get, as we were trying to get a hold of her, going over the blooming steps. I had to get another guy to hold my beer so I didn't fall into the pitch.
She was proper emotional. It was lovely.
So wash it by hand.
Yeah.
She was lovely. It was so nice. She was so it's great when you give it to somebody who like really is touched by the fact that, you know, as a fans own club, we really like honour these people who do such the hard work behind the scenes. She was great. It was really great to give it to her.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then we've got 2 awards that we will be presenting properly at hopefully our first home match of the next season. But we're going to announce them now. And this is the Sort It Out Jackson Award for Best Sub. And the winner was, it's not going to surprise anyone, Callum Maycock for coming on and scoring 2 goals in 20 minutes against the franchise. Fantastic work, Callum. And our last prize is the Who Ate All the Pies Award for Best Food Outlet. And the winner this year is My Pie. So there you are. Those are our award winners for the Same Old Wombles Awards. Thank you all very much. They've all been wonderful. We look forward to presenting those last 2 awards at our first home game of the season. Thank you all very much. Thank you, listener, for listening for what seems like eternity to our season review podcast. We will be doing other ones. I know you're going to be upset that we're not around, but we will be around at some points over the summer, whether Adam likes it or not.
We should probably thank the guests we've had on this season, if you can remember them all.
Yeah, thank you to all the guests we've had on.
Well, I can remember a few of them.
Yep.
Obviously, we had Tricia from California.
Oh, Mark, stop showing off with your memory stuff. You know Adam can't remember yesterday. I'm going to struggle to remember like a week before.
We shouldn't Max, really like, forget Max Mr. Eric Samuelson, former CEO of the club, who we had on, wasn't it?
Will Nightingale, Barry James, John Lynch, Ray Armfield. I've mentioned Will Nightingale already. Tricia from the States. Our phantom guest, John Green, who's been on many times. We can't get rid of him, for goodness sake. John, calm down. And many other people that we've had on as well.
Which I think, Matt, congratulations.
Marianne came on. Kaz came on. Kerry. Kerry Amory. Kerry was fantastic. She came on as well. Very honest. That was a brilliant, very honest assessment there. That was fantastic. I know we've got a whole list of other people who are looking forward to coming on as well. So
I can't believe how many guests we've had, people actually. And I think that's quite exciting. And the problem is we have quite a big list of potential future guests, I'm sure. Probably
We've got people queuing up who want to be on. And that's why Adam realises that it's going to go on through the summer. So there will be some real cool special guests over the summer that are all up for it.
Yep, we'll do our special guests over the summer, which I know that Adam's looking forward to. But most importantly, I want to say a massive thank you to the wonderful Same Old Wombles podcast crew. It's just brilliant. Every Monday we get to have a chin wag and a chat, sort of like brightens the day up, really. So thank you very much to Niall Cooper, to Mark Lewis, to Adam Proctor, Adam particularly with all your wonderful editing. Thank you so much. I'm Matt Cooper. We're the Same Old Wombles. We'll be back and back and back again.